If you had the task of trying to describe God, what words would you use? What is the first word or the first thought that comes to your mind? I don't know that there's a question that would yield as diverse an answer as this one. To different people, they would describe God in different ways. God is love. God is gracious. He is just. God is merciful. All of those words come to my mind. What about you? Imagine a poet telling us that God is a shepherd. Did that picture come to your mind? That's probably not the first thought that we have when we think of God. Did an image of God out in a field taking care of sheep even enter your thoughts at all? It did David's. The Lord is my shepherd. David grabs hold of the Lord right here in this psalm. He makes it personal. He makes his relationship with God personal. He reaches out to God and he calls him by name. The Lord, when you see that name right here in Psalm 23, it's the personal name for our Father. It is translated Jehovah. Here are some descriptions of God for you to contemplate. Maybe we could add this to our list of thoughts that we have. God is the eternal one. He is the living one, the self-existent being, the eternal I am. That phrase, I am, it sticks in our minds because of the conversation that God had with Moses. And Moses was wanting to know what to say when he came before Pharaoh. Who do I tell him has sent me? And God, as he's introducing himself to Moses, it's as if Moses doesn't truly know God. And God, he reveals himself to Moses with that phrase, I am Jehovah. He is unchangeably the same. He created all things. He is, always has been, and always will be. What a list. All of these phrases, all of these words, they're ways for us to describe our God. Now, I want you to see the significance in David calling God by this name. The Hebrew word for this title for God would not be spoken by the Jews except by the high priest, and it would be spoken only in the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. This name that David uses right here, the majority of Jews, if not all Jews, they wouldn't even dare say this name. Now that made God seem distant, far off perhaps, unapproachable. That was not what God wanted. That was not what God desired. When God reveals himself to Moses back in Exodus, God, he wanted a relationship with Moses. And it was within the framework of that relationship that Moses would go and stand before Pharaoh there in Egypt. And what God desired back in the Old Testament, it hasn't changed today. God still wants relationship. He still wants his people to be connected to him, close to him. Now, all that background information is important. This name that wasn't even spoken by the Jewish people, it was used in a very unusual manner by David in this psalm. You know, this psalm is probably more well known to people than any other scripture in the Old Testament. When people think of the Old Testament, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Do we understand what David is communicating? Do we understand the significance just in that short phrase, the Lord is my shepherd? The psalmist, David, he dare calls the eternal God his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah is my shepherd. 1,000 years later, Jesus, he used this same imagery when he declared in his ministry, I am the good shepherd. Jesus' use of I am, it mirrors God's use of I am back in Exodus 3 as a name for himself. And we have all of those I am statements that Jesus made in his ministry. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. This is another one. I am the good shepherd. Jesus identified himself with God, with Jehovah. He laid claim to God. I am. And then Jesus, just like David, he combined this high and exalted word for the eternal God with the word shepherd. Now, what is David doing? What is David expressing here in the openings of this amazing psalm? I want you to see how big this is. What we find just right here in these words, what we discover is the concept of power. Now, when God spoke to Moses back in Exodus 3, you go tell Pharaoh that I am has sent you. That was a title of power. To be self-existent, to always have been. And that power, it was revealed again and again by Moses to Pharaoh through those 10 plagues. One by one as they unfold, what Moses is doing is showing Pharaoh who's in charge. It's about power. God is all powerful. So when David, when he taps into that name, it's a title of power. But then he combines it with another word, a word that symbolizes sympathy, love, and tenderness. Our Father, he's sovereign. He's Lord over all. And at the same time, he is a loving friend and intercessor and Savior. The word shepherd, it originally meant friend, guide, companion. If you were a shepherd back in this time, that's what you did. That's what you provided. All of these animals, all of the sheep that you were responsible for, you had a connection with them. You guided them in the ways that we read here in this psalm. You were their companion. David is saying, this is who God is to me. He is my friend. He is my guide. He is my companion. It's personal. David made it personal. It was a personal message, an intimate psalm. In the little word, my, it has to be the transforming word. What a profound difference it makes. You see, the psalmist, he didn't speak theoretically or generally. He didn't write, the Lord is a shepherd. Now, that would be accurate, because he certainly is. But that's not what David expressed. He didn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He said the Lord is my shepherd. Personal. Relationship. You see, David, he knew the shepherd personally. The only way to know the full meaning of a relationship like the one described in this psalm is to make it personal. To have a personal connection with God, to have a personal walk with Him, a personal relationship with Him. I think people have read this psalm for thousands of years. The Lord is my shepherd. And they have no idea what it means. It's something that's abstract to them, something that's off in the distance. Oh, it sure sounds good, doesn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. And then we go and live life on our own. We go and live life without God as our friend, without God as our companion, without God as our guide. Now, something amazing can happen if we do what David did. Something transformational in our lives can take place if we lay claim to what David does right here in Psalm 23. An unbelievable treasure is awaiting us. And the psalmist, he reveals to us what this great treasure is. We have to keep reading. We have this first phrase, the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah God, the eternal one, the great I am. He is my friend. He is my guide. He is my companion. Now, what is the result of that? Because if you do that, if you make the Lord your shepherd, there has to be an impact in life. And right here it is. I shall not want. Can anyone honestly make this statement? I shall not want. Can we possibly lay claim to the word spoken here by David? Anybody here in this room this morning, can we say that? I want for nothing. I have everything that I need. What is the gift of contentment worth to you? We want for so much. We want for so many things. And our lives are often consumed by all of these wants. And even as we enter this holiday season, as we approach Christmas, we have all of these things that are just running through our mind. You know, back in the day, you had the catalogs. I don't have catalogs anymore, but back in the day, you had these catalogs. You just go through with markers or pens, somehow highlighting all of the things that you want. And if you were like me, you kind of leave it in a place where you hope your parents would see it. They can really pinpoint exactly what you're wanting. And I would like to think that that's something that kids do. That as we get older, we mature. But I don't know if that's the case. Because we still seem to want for so much, even as adults. We want money. We want power. We want new homes, new cars. We want the latest fashions. We want the newest technologies. Every time I walk into Best Buy, I just leave a puddle of drool. And it seems like every time you go in there, you could go in there today and you could go in there 2 weeks later, and already they have something new. Some new technology that made what you bought 2 weeks ago obsolete. It's like, oh, I gotta have that, I want that. Now the toys might be bigger, the things that we want might be more costly, but for so many of us, that's our life. We just want. I want this, I want that. We're never really content. And then we come across this psalm. And we go back thousands of years and we have this shepherd boy who grew up to be king over Israel. And right here, probably late in his life, he penned these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." This statement should get our attention. That expression, "I shall not want," that should really grab us by the heart. Maybe we think to ourselves, is this life even possible? Is this life attainable? Is this just a fairy tale that David is composing? I shall not want. This seems to fall in the category of make-believe. Here is what David, and here is what God wants us to know. There's a pathway to contentment. You know, David lived at a time when there were no cars, not the big homes that we have here today. He lived at a time when there was no cell phone, no iTunes, no social media. All of these things that we think we have to have to be happy. All of these things that I gotta have this or I'm not gonna be content. David lived at a time when none of that existed. But still yet he could write, "There is a way for me to live where I want for nothing." There's a pathway to contentment. The words "I shall not want," they're not possible without the words that preceded them. The only pathway to this life, the only way for us to be content, the only way for us to be able to write what David wrote, "I shall not want," is to make the Lord our shepherd. That is the only way. There is nothing else in this life that will enable you, that will allow you, that will take you to this destination. And I believe all of us want to be there. I believe all of us want to reach a place in our life where we're able to say, "I'm content with what I have. I'm content no matter what I face, no matter what situation I'm in. I am content." I think everybody wants to say that. We certainly want to live that. But it can only be found in one place. It can only be found in Jesus Christ. You know what David is saying here? He's saying, I shall never want for anything. At no time in all of life, right now, or in eternity, can there be a lack of anything that we need. Now just consider that phrase for just a moment. At no time in all of our life, right now, or in all of eternity, can there be a lack of anything that we need if, now this is a big if the Lord is ours. If Jesus Christ is yours, then you want for nothing. There's nothing out there that you need if Jesus is yours. David knew what this felt like. And there are some people that we read about in the New Testament, some apostles who also knew what this feeling was like. Just consider Paul for a moment. In Philippians 4, verse 11, he writes something similar. For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. How could Paul write these words? We know everything that Paul went through. So here's some questions for you, Mr. Apostle Paul. Were you content when you were in prison? Answer that for me, Mr. Apostle. Were you content while you were being persecuted? What about that, Paul? Were you content when your life was threatened time and time again? How about that? And if Paul were here to answer each of those questions, he would say, yes, yes, and yes. I was content. Now, how could Paul write that? Because we know his life. We know what he went through. We have to keep reading to get the answer. Paul could write these words to first century Christians while he was in a prison cell in Rome because he knew that God would supply all of his needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Paul had something that we need. David had something that we need. Paul could write these words because he lived these words. He could write this to first century Christians because he knew the Lord as his shepherd. What about Peter? Peter could also do the same thing. You'll notice Peter's words in 2 Peter 1 verse 3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. You know, Peter's words are similar to Paul, similar to what David wrote in Psalm 23. Now, Peter, he could write this to Christians who were fighting for their lives because of who they believed in, because of the life that they were living as Christians. Their life was on the line. But Peter could still say to them, everything that you need pertaining to life, everything that you need pertaining to godliness, you have it. You have everything that you need because you have Jesus. From Pentecost to Cornelius and everywhere in between, Peter knew the Lord. So we have Paul. Paul in prison, he knew the Lord. Paul, when he was being beaten for his faith, he knew the Lord. He had something in Jesus that couldn't be taken away. So did Peter. What about us? This is what I want you to see from Psalm 23, verse 1. Here is a picture of what being rich really looks like. You know, for us, most of the time, we think about rich. We think about somebody maybe on a yacht, somebody who owns their own island, somebody who has a house in Aspen and a house on the beach and a house over in Europe, somebody who has a garage that's just packed full of cars. Have you ever seen Jay Leno's garage? It's just car after car after car. It's amazing. And those are typically the images that we have. That's what it looks like to be rich. It's not. None of those pictures, none of those images, none of those lifestyles of the rich and famous are true pictures of wealth. This psalm written by a shepherd. And it's interesting that David, he rose all the way to the point of being king over Israel. But the psalm that he's remembered the most for goes all the way back to the days when he was just a boy taking care of sheep. When he was poor compared to who he was as king. When he didn't have the power, when he didn't have the ability to get what he wanted at the snap of a finger. This right here is what David went back to. This is what it looked like. This is what it is to be rich. We are so rich that every need will be supplied moment by moment by our Lord. The answer's never late. The strength is never lacking. God knows and He anticipates our every need. How can one be so rich? No multimillionaire can ever qualify because of mere earthly wealth. And this can only be found in God. This knowledge should thrill our souls. This knowledge, it should bring us to our knees. This truth that must challenge us. I shall not want. Let me make it personal for here just a moment, because I'm sure some of these things people here may be struggling with. If drugs become your shepherd, you'll still want. If money is your shepherd, it'll never be enough. You'll always want more. If pornography becomes your shepherd, it'll never satisfy. One more time will never be enough. If fame becomes your shepherd, you'll be left wanting. If power becomes your shepherd, you'll never have enough. If worldly success, whether it's in athletics or business or any other worldly endeavor, becomes your shepherd, you'll always be left wanting. Here is the image of a shepherd. Here is a picture of what we can have. Contentment. Here is another image of a shepherd. This can be ours as well. You know, here's a question you have to ask. Here's a question I hope you're thinking about. Who is my shepherd? What is my shepherd? If drugs or pornography or any other physical thing, money, fame, wealth, power, if all of those things are your shepherd, you'll never have this. You'll never have contentment. Who is leading you? Who are you following? The Lord, He is able to save from cruel enemies and from deep chasms. He is able to rescue from the assaults of the tempter. He can keep in the hour of sorrow or in the experience of death. All of life is under His control. No moment, no person is beyond His divine reach. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. If we can help you in any way this morning, we invite you to come as we stand and sing together.